Hi there, Matt Luxton here from the Equestrian Athlete Plan. Today I thought I'd bring to you the first chapter in the how to create the stable and mobile body that you need for your equestrian sport. What it is I want to go through in this chapter is how to incorporate both core stability and mobility work into your training. Hopefully by the end of this you'll understand why one of those aspects, so what either core stability or mobility, is rendered almost useless without the other, and in some cases actually it's more dangerous to have one or the other as opposed to both. You'll hopefully gain an insight into why we should mobilise before riding rather than just stretch. And this chapter will also address the problems surrounding stiffness in the legs and better posture for a better seat. Okay, so first of all, we're going to go, how are we going to take this core from the home gym to the saddle? So many equestrian athletes often ask me what exercises they can use to be more stable and strong in the saddle, regardless of what competitive level they're at, age or their gender. Okay, so you are no different in that sense. You'll be using in this program, you'll be using a combination of exercises that are the prime movers, okay, the major muscles of the joint, and those also that stabilise the joint as well. So the synergists, okay, the smaller muscles that play their part in securing the joint. Okay, so by using progressive and specific set of exercises in the structured sequence, you'll actually increase the strength and endurance in both the stabilisers and the mobilisers of that joint. Now, the stabilisers are the ones that provide tone, whereas the mobilisers tend to be the major muscle or the assistant muscles in the mover. Good mobility will allow you to move the joint through its full range of movement. Now, that's imperative for all equestrian athletes to stay injury-free. So when you couple being able to move the joint through its full range of movement and strength, you have a stable and mobile joint. Okay. By using these in isolation or neglecting one or the other, you will actually seriously limit your potential to develop the riding fit body that you're looking for. Now, once we've addressed the balanced program, we then need to make sure that the exercises are actually functional. So functional is a big word in the fitness profession right now, but my interpretation for the equestrian athlete is this. Functional exercises could be best described as the one that mimics the movements of the equestrian athlete, whether it's on or off the horse and under similar energy demands. So it really is as simple as that. Now you can really see why the generic DVD or exercise class doesn't really cut it for the equestrian athlete, because they simply don't address the metabolic demands, the movements that we're doing. They also don't address the specificity of the movements, and they don't always address stability coupled with mobility. Okay. Moving on now, we need to go through, now some people say to me, is it more about having mobility? Is it more about having stability? Do you know what? It's not more of one than the other. Okay, to get the riding fit body, it is about striking a balance in your training between stability and mobility. By training in flexibility, strength and endurance, you will find that your body's neuromuscular pathways, the bits that link the brain to the muscle, will be better developed and will lead to a well-balanced and healthy body. So why is this so important? A common problem faced by equestrian athletes is that in an effort to remain flexible, they seek exercises, routines that only really improve flexibility. The trouble is with this, it's not really going to benefit you. This will actually put you more at risk. The more flexible body and joint system with no support, okay, and strength and endurance is as dangerous as tight muscles are. So in that effort to become more flexible and more mobile, all you've done really is you've actually put yourself at more risk, because you're really, really mobile and the joints have got no stability. Okay, so basically you're essentially now starting to fire a cannon from your canoe. Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to think about the Eiffel Tower is your spine. Okay, so if I made all the small struts very flexible and the main tower become very unstable, or vice versa, what I need you to do is to strengthen your muscles through their maximum range of movement. Okay, this will allow you to put your body into positions that you need to, safe in the knowledge that you're strong enough to get back to where you started. Okay, so without pulling muscles because they can't cope with the strain. Okay, so basically the muscles that were there to do the job, okay, now don't have the strength necessarily, so you're gonna put them under a lot of strain if you just train them in their flexibility. Now, obviously, if you get into a position that with relatively huge loads, okay, then this may change. You may use poor technique to pick up that water bucket. You still do put yourself at risk. It is very important to address mobility and stability equally and view them as part and parcel of a riding fit body. Okay, so first of all, now we need to really decide which comes first? So I think you need to address, or you do definitely need to address mobility and then flexibility, okay? So this is really a frequent topic surrounding equestrianism. Largely comes up under the name of stretching. This is due to the nature of the position that we find ourselves in whichever equestrian event you actually compete in. Many equestrian athletes find that they do get stiff in the saddle, and when it comes to getting off, you know, that sometimes for a lot of people that can actually be a really painful experience. So regardless of whether or not you do feel stiff, or whether you consider stretching as necessary, you do need to consider there are two different types, okay? So there is dynamic flexibility and static. Now, I want you to stretch dynamically, so where now we're going from calling stretching, this is actually now going to become mobility, okay? So you're going to mobilise dynamically, okay, prior to riding, and then you'll place more emphasis on the static, so the standing still stretches after you've ridden, okay? Now, the reason we do this is that dynamic is more applicable for you before, because it's actually going to help you to maximise your power, your strength and your endurance, whereas the static stretches are more appropriate post-riding, and they actually help to train to re-lengthen the work muscles. Okay, so the dynamic stretches, as I mentioned earlier, really can be considered mobility, as they will tend to mobilise the joints as well as take the muscle through its full range of movement. The static stretches, however, just tend to work on lengthening the muscle fibres with little attention to the joints. So now you can see why the static stretches aren't really appropriate. Just doing the static stretches won't actually mobilise the joints that we're going to be using. Okay. So now in this equestrian athlete programme, you're actually going to be given mobility exercises that you can use prior to training or riding, and a set of static stretches that you can do post-workout and riding. This will serve really to keep you in optimal alignment and prevent the stiffness of overworked muscles that you may have experienced before. Okay, so you know the next thing for me to really go into now is that, so actually getting warm for the saddle. Okay, so as the awareness as is rising of being fit for riding, okay, in recent times, many equestrian athletes have asked me how they can warm up to ride for whatever equestrian event they choose. The key to warming up for you is to warm up as a dynamic set of movements that are going to warm, mobilise and prepare your body and your mind for your event. So I will provide you in this plan with a specific mobility circuit that you will use to follow for your training programme. This has worked really, really well for me and all my equestrian athletes prior to riding as well. So what you're looking for is movements that really involve the ankle, the knee, the hip, the shoulder and the elbow. Okay, these movements will also involve rotation of the core, flexion of the core, so that's forward movement, extension of the spine, which is the backward movement, okay, and of all the joints that we've mentioned above, so not just the core, but you know, the knees, the hips, the shoulders, okay, and the elbows. The other purpose really of the warm-up is to elevate the heart rate, okay, and also prepare the mind for the task ahead. So just bear in mind before you get into your warm-up that you need to be really fully focused on getting ready for the event ahead. Okay, remember that equestrianism is a sport. And in all other sports, they warm up and prepare physically and mentally for the task ahead. Okay? So really, really nail the, you know, that side of things in terms of getting yourself mentally prepared. So once you've done that, then you're really now onto the posture. Okay? So better posture, better seat. So as an equestrian athlete, I'm sure you absolutely, you know, actually love to know how you can help your posture, get you more comfortable and effective riding position. Now, throughout the book, we will, and during the training program, we'll be discussing and using a series of exercises that will bring about optimal alignment for you. The problem often lies with rounded shoulders, even if it's not overly obvious. Most of us have a slight internal rotation of the shoulder, which causes the shoulder blades, the scapula, to part in the middle. Okay, so it almost looks like your scapula are quite bony. That little process just pops up. That's actually known as scapular winging. The problem is that over time, this is made worse as the seated position increases the postural stress that we're under, okay? Now, what a lot of people make the mistake of doing is focusing solely on the upper body work, okay? In particular, the front of the core to correct posture. Now, I'm going to help you to avoid this by addressing the whole of the posterior chain. So that's the glutes, the hamstrings, the lower back, and also down into the calves as well. Now, it also describes the fascia as well, so the connective tissue that makes up the back of your body. So, you know, we've got this layer of tissue, if you like, that surrounds all our muscles, and basically all the neurological signals are actually passed through these. So if this is really tight and and inhibited, then you're not going to get the same movement patterns that you should if you're nice and supple and also very well balanced. Now, the efficient and effective movement of the posterior chain really relies on neurological transmission of signals, okay? So from the brain right through the fascia to these muscles. If you've got postural weakness or deficiencies here, you'll never move well, like I just said, and ultimately you'll never have the strong posture that you're looking for. Okay, so for that reason, we will address posture very holistically, training the gluteals, the buttocks, to work in synchrony with the hamstrings and lower back. We're also going to be opening up the chest, pulling the shoulder blades back and down to give ourselves a very confident appearance, okay? So that, all in all, this whole program is really geared towards you becoming a more functional rider, okay? So more fit for purpose, creating that riding fit body that you really want. Okay, so next up we're going to look at limbering up the legs. Okay, so now the reason that your legs stiffen after or during riding is due to the demands placed on them. The demands of the riding position often result in very tight hip flexors, okay, the muscles on the front of the hip, and the adductors, which are the muscles on the inside of the thigh. To alleviate some of the problems, it is essential that you warm up using mobility circuits and stretch post-riding and workout, as we mentioned earlier. It is also worth considering your nutrition at this point. Now, we will cover energy and endurance later in the book, but if you're dehydrated, your muscles will fatigue far quicker and you simply won't be able to deliver the energy to them, and the waste products of exercise flush them out. So if you've been drinking caffeine, which remember is a diuretic, you are leaving yourself wide open to getting cramps and stiffness in the lower legs and hips, which is very, very common in equestrianism. You know, you basically, essentially what you're trying to do now is get that engine started, and you've put petrol, you know, you've put diesel in the petrol engine, essentially. You've put something in there that shouldn't be there. Likewise, if you're eating foods that are high in sugar, this is going to increase the acidity of your blood and further increase the likelihood of cramp or stiffness, okay? So I want you to be both stable and mobile in the saddle, okay? So you can train as much as you like, you can train your horse as much as you like, but if you're running your Ferrari on diesel, it will break down, okay? I.e. get stiff and injured very quickly, okay? So by using exercises that open up the hip and lengthen the already short hip flexors on the front of the hip, you will develop and maintain excellent hip mobility, okay, during this program. Also, by mobilising the ankle joint, you will lessen the compression in the joint. This is so important to all equestrian athletes due to the range of movement that you do need through the ankle, whether it be for rising or sitting, trot, canter, or really for that matter, every phase.